الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، وبعد.
إن شاء الله، brothers, we want to start on this.
For any of you who have this book by Sheikh Bilal, حفظه الله.
We want to deal with this next aspect. Inshallah, that he mentions. Oh, wait a minute. We did everything but al-riyah. Remember? I think that's right. We left off on al-riyah, right?
When we were talking about shirk and shirk and asghar. Remember? We never got to it, right? We didn't finish it, right? We didn't finish it last week, right? And types of it. That's right. See, nobody reminded me. Al-Riya.
Right. Al-Riya. Okay. Let's listen to what he says. Bismillah. He says, Riya is, this is Shirk al-Asghar. This is a form of Shirk al-Asghar, which we dealt with Shirk al-Akbar. Now this is the minor shirk. Riya is the practice of performing any of the various forms of worship in order to be seen and praised by people. This sin destroys all the benefits that lie in righteous deeds and brings the one who commits it a serious punishment. It is particularly dangerous because it is natural for man to desire and enjoy the praise of his fellow men. Doing religious acts to impress people or in order to be praised by them is therefore an evil which deserves man's utmost caution. We mentioned this a little bit, right? We didn't mention this last? And didn't I mention that I had written al-riya on the side of the board and we never got a chance to talk about it, did we? Didn't I write it on the board? And yes, right, you're the master recorder. I forgot, man. You sure enough. You sure? Okay, so, no, because I told the sisters that I thought that I did it with you all and they felt that they were slighted because I had given you brothers everything and they didn't get anything. Fucking nut. All right. So, he says that this danger is really significant to the believers whose goal is to make all of the acts of their lives religious acts dedicated to Allah. In fact, he says, the likelihood that knowledgeable true believers would commit a shirk al-akbar, is small, since his pitfalls are so obvious. Because people are not going to go up, the average Muslim is not going to go up to a grave and pray to the grave. The average Muslim is not going to make to walk around the White House. religiously, I don't mean like a demonstration or anything. That's another discussion. But, you know, the average Muslim is not going to do that, right? And make dua, hold his hands up, or her hands up and say, oh, Bill Clinton, please allow me to get justice in America, or something like that. No true believer with knowledge is going to, you know, even though probably the nominal Muslims wouldn't even do things like this. So he says, but for the true believer, like everyone else, the chance of committing riya is great because it is so hidden. It only involves the simple act of changing one's niyyah, intention. That's all it takes. It also only involves the simple act of changing one's intention. He says the motivating forces behind it are also very strong, since it comes from man's inner nature. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma alluded to this reality when he said, quote, shirk is more hidden than a black ant creeping on a black stone in the middle of a moonless night. This hadith is reported by Ibn Abi Hatim and quoted in Taysir al-Aziz al-Hamid, which is a book, it's one of the explanations of the book Kitab al-Tawheed on page 587. So this riya is very dangerous, because what happens is that even though, as we mentioned in the beginning of the class, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullahi alayh, he said when they were asked him, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the shirk that he won't forgive it, he says, someone asked him, was it major shirk or minor shirk? He says, stay away from all of it. Right? Stay away from all of it. But this one is falls into the category, according to Allah, is minor shirk. And this is the one that shaitan tries to catch you with, because the average Muslim is not going to do the big stuff. You know, worshiping the sun and ascribing partners to Allah and denying the existence of Allah. So, shaitan, he works on this one. And I thought I mentioned this last time, man. I didn't, huh? I guess not. I'm trying to check myself out. Also, I thought I mentioned it, but we'll mention it now, that shaitan, he's really crafty with this one. This is one of the tricks that he'll use. He'll supplant a trick. Shaitan has a way of supplanting a bigger trick under a little trick. What he does is, because we know that some of the tricks of shaitan is that he'll incite you to do good, which many Muslims think that he only incites you to do evil. But shaitan, to get you to do something major, or to take you away from an act that will give you more reward, he'll put a big trick, like a farmer sows a seed under a seed. This is called in agriculture subplantation. And you study agriculture, they call it subplantation. When you put a seed under a seed, and the one on the top will grow, it may become a weed, and you cut that away, and the other one will come up in its place, you walk away, and the next thing you know, you have a whole whatever built, you know, that comes out of the ground. Well, shaitan does something similar to this. He'll put a trick under a trick. So what he'll do is, he'll tell you when you have a beautiful voice, you know, go ahead and recite the Quran. الَّذِي يُوَسْوِسُ فِي صُدُورِ النَّاسِ, the one who whispers into the hearts of the human beings. You know, you have a real beautiful voice. So when the people come in, really stretch out. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. And then people come in and you really get real, you know, like you Luther Vandross or somebody with the Quran. You get real pretty, right? And then he'll come back to you, right? He'll come back to you, khannas. He'll whisper to you to seek refuge with Allah from riyah, and repent from showing off. And you listen to him. And then you'll stop. Oh Allah, forgive me for showing off, and I won't do, you know, oh Allah, oh Allah, whatever. But the real trick is under this trick. So you abandon reciting Quran altogether. You'll do away with all the good, the worship that you would have been getting credit for if your intention wasn't impure. So he got you to abandon a good act of worship, which you'll get credit for every harf, every letter that you recite in the Quran, you get 10 hasanat for it. And you say, well, I'm not going to call the adhan at all. I'm not going to recite the Quran at all. I'm not going to fight in jihad anymore at all. I'm not going to pay this person zakat anymore, because I was showing off, and to avoid the birds chirping on my tree every day, and I keep shooting them away, I'll just cut down the tree. And now the birds won't be able to come back. Then the big trick that he put under that, which is making you abandon some ibadah, is the one he wants to catch you with. So you have to be very careful when we talk about the niyyah. And some of the ulama, I've read some things where they said, there's some discussion on, can you have a multifaceted niyyah? Can you have a mixed niyyah? Does the act have to be totally for the pleasure of Allah, or can it be for the pleasure of Allah and also to incite someone to do good? There's a discussion on this, which I care not to go into, but I just wanted to mention it, because I know that many of us probably find ourselves in a dilemma like that, you know? Okay, then he goes on, he says, thus, great care has to be taken to ensure that one's intention begin pure and remain pure whenever righteous deeds are being done. In order to do this, in order to ensure this, the saying of Allah's name is enjoined in Islam before all acts of importance. A series of dua, or informal prayers, as he says between the parentheses, have also been prescribed by the Prophet ﷺ before and after all natural habits like eating, drinking, sleeping, sex, and even going to the toilet, in order to turn these everyday habits into acts of worship and develop in the Muslim, in Muslims, a keen awareness of Allah. It is this awareness called taqwa which ultimately ensures that intentions remain pure. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, also provided protection against the inevitable acts of shirk by teaching certain specific prayers which may be said by any Muslim anytime. Abu Musa said, radiallahu anhu, one day Allah's Messenger delivered a sermon, alayhi salatu wasalam, saying, O people, fear shirk, for it is more hidden than the creeping of an ant. Those whom Allah wished asked, and how do we avoid it when it is more hidden than the creeping of an ant? O Messenger of Allah, to which the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam said, Allahumma inna na'udhu bika an nushrika shay'an na'lamahu wa nastaghfiruka lima la la'namu. And the translation of this is, O Allah, we seek refuge in you from knowingly committing shirk with you, and we ask your forgiveness for what we do not know about. This is an important dua. And this is the hadith and du'as collected by Imam Ahmed and Imam al-Tabarani. And the transliteration is as follows. Allahumma inna, if it's two A's or two E's or two O's, it's a long sound. Inna na'udhu, na'udhu bika an and believe it or not, and nushrika, nushrika, bika shay'an, bika shay'an. نَعْلَمُ نَعْلَمُهُ ونستغفرك لما لا نعلمه. I think this is a na'lamahu.
Yes.
Na'lamahu. And na'lamahu. Na'lamahu. Okay. Anybody wants an Arabic, inshallah, it's on page 41 of this book, Tawheed. Inshallah, we'll make We'll write it down later, inshallah. Allahumma, you can say it, inshallah. Allahumma inna na'udhu bika an nushrika shay'an na'lamahu wa nastaghfiruka lima la na'lamahu. Oh Allah, bika shay'an wa na'lamahu nushrika shay'an. Ah, yeah. And nushrika shay'an. I got it reversed. Thank you. Thank you. It's reversed. You wrote it down already? That's why they made erasers, man. You wrote it in ink? Don't worry about it, inshallah. Write it in Arabic, right? Mashallah. Okay, hold it. Oh Allah, he waits till I finish, right? See? Refuge in you from knowingly committing shirk with you and we ask your forgiveness for what we do, not know about. Allahumma inna na'udhu bika an nushrika shay'an. And you know something? Wait a minute. You told me, I changed it around and you told me that that's not right. Wait a minute. Hold it, wait a minute. You told me that this is switched around and it shouldn't be, I said it wrong, right? Let's start from the beginning. Hold it. Somebody told me wrong. Oh, I didn't say it. So why'd you let me erase it? Okay, hold it. This is what it is. Allahumma inna na'udhu, huh? No, I didn't go to school today. Na'udhu bika, that's right. An nushrika shay'an. And this bika shouldn't be here. That's what it is. Bika shay'an na'lamahu. Right. Wa nastaghfiruka lima la na'lamahu. That's it. Yeah. Okay. That's it now. Now. Mm-hmm. A dhamma after the meme. This is an A. Right. Right here. To the best of my knowledge, it says, Allahumma inna na'udhu bika an nushrika shay'an na'lamahu. It's mansub because of an. Shouldn't it be? Allahumma, let's look at it. Inna, Allahumma, inna. Stop being a troublemaker, man. No, we just sit together. He's not my student. Na'udhu bika an nushrika shay'an. And okay, what should it be? Right there, over there. Should be marfu'. It should be marfu'. That's what I thought, but he has in the book na'lamahu. I guess from him, he made a mistake, right? That's what I thought. Because I had it Bumma first, right? I made it a U. Right? But that's where he has it. I'm assuming that he said an nushrika shay'an because an na'lanahu. That's a mistake, right? Very good. Alhamdulillah. You learned something already, man. So I'll change it back to na'lamuhu. Huh? What? You have no races? You have no races or races? What did you say? You have no races in here? Na'lamuhu. Allahumma inni na'udhu bika an nushrika shay'an. Yeah. How can he do that? How did he do that? You know something though? I'm going to go back and check the text of this. Maybe it's something real far out, man. Huh? You mean with tashkil? Where is it? Yeah, it's in Ahmed and the Tabarani. Okay, anyway, we'll check it anyway. وَنَسْتَغْفِرُكَ وَنَسْتَغْفِرُكَ تغفرك. No, I better do it this way. نستغفرك لا na'lamuhu. And that's what he has. That's what he has. He has it on both of them, by the way. That's real strange. But I looked at it and I put the U over here the first time. I said, he knows more than I do. I didn't want to say that he's wrong. But that's what he has here. No, he doesn't have it on the end one. Maybe it's a typographical error. 41. Right here. He has a fatha in the book. There's a fatha. And I thought maybe he was doing it because of this, but this is before this verb, so I mean I've never heard of it, but because I've never heard of it, that doesn't mean that it's not right. That he was using this particle over here, this harf, to make this accusative in the book. That's the way it comes. All right. Anyway, this is the dua. This is the dua to protect us from the shirk. And that's the only thing he deals with on ar-riya. Except for the hadith that he brings that we brought last time we were here, where he says that the thing that I fear for you the most is ash-shirk al-asghar. The companions asked, O Messenger of Allah, what is minor shirk? What is shirk al-ashirk al-azghar? He said, ar-riya, showing off. For verily Allah will say on the day of resurrection when people are receiving their rewards, go to those from whom you are showing off in the material world and see if you can find any reward from them. This hadith is recorded by Imam Ahmad and al-Tabarani and al-Bayhaqi in his book Az-Zuhd, and also on page 118 in this book that we just mentioned, which is one of the explanations of Kitab al-Tawheed. And Mahmud ibn Lubayd radiallahu anhu also said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam came out and announced, O people, beware of secret, this is the way Sheikh Bilal translates it, secret shirk. The people asked, O Messenger of Allah, what is secret shirk? He replied, when a man gets up to pray and strives to beautify his prayer because people are looking at him, that is secret shirk. And I think, did we mention the case of the young man who was praying one day and the people came in and talked about how well he was praying? No, I didn't mention that in the class.
Was it how well he was deciding or how well?
How his movements were, how humble he was. Young boy was in the musalla and he was like this. And then the people came in and said, oh look, mashallah, look how poised and how pious he is. And he was like this. And then he turned to them and said, if you think that's something, I'm fasting too. Allah was fine. So yeah, we have to be careful. That's an Islamic joke, brother. It's an Islamic joke. No, this actually happened. No, this is true. This is a true story. Yeah, it's a true story. Okay. Let's try. Yes. You know, this was discussed by one of the sheikhs. I remember Sheikh Muhammad ibn Saleh Al Uthaymeen, hafizahullah. And he not for this in general, this in specific, but there was the du'a of Qunut and Witr. Somebody asked him, is it permissible for us to say, because the Prophet, is it permissible for us to say, and the Qunut, Allahumma ahdini fi man hadayt, wa afini fi man afayt, wa tawallani fi man tawallayt, instead of Allahumma ahdina fi man hadayt, wa afina fi man afayt, wa tawallana fi man tawallayt, in the plural. And he said, this is his humble opinion, he said the people of knowledge say it is permissible to change the expression to the singular, because he said for that particular dua, the Qunut, not this, that Hassan radiallahu anhu, who the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught this dua to, said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught me the Qunut kama yu'allimana surata min al-Qur'an, like he used to teach me or us a surah from the Qur'an. And the dua, the Qunut that he taught me, and that he taught me to say, that I can say, meaning there's other Qunut, right, was Allahumma ahdina fi man hadayt to the end. And then he went into a further discussion that it's permissible to say it in the singular. I personally don't particularly like it. Personally, I don't have any. The reason why is because du'a is du'a and zikr is something that is tawqifi. It's something that the modality, the methodology, and the expressions of the du'a, and like any other form of worship, and the actual mechanics of the acts of worship are all from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So to change the wording in anything, like one of the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was taught a du'a to say that the Prophet alayhi wasallam told him to say before you go to bed. And it says, if you say this and you die in iman. Right? And the explanation that one of the commentators said, meaning he'll get the reward that will enable him to go to Jannah. Or he'll die in iman. Anyway, du'a is a very beautiful du'a, the wording. And the at the end of the du'a, and I believe in that in which I believe in the Prophet in which you sent, or the messenger that you sent.
I think it was a messenger or prophet. Remember? Wa nabiyyuka arsalta. Wa nabiyyuka arsalta. And I believe, amantu bi nabiyyika arsalta. I believe in the prophet that you sent. So later on, after he had memorized it, he used to implement this dua, this particular companion that the prophet taught, alayhi salatu wasalam, he changed nabi to rasul. To rasul. And the messenger of Allah is a rasul, no doubt, right? He's a rasul and he's a nabi. And the messenger of Allah heard him saying it, and he corrected him and told him, no, nabiyyuka arsalta. Say, the prophet whom you sent. Your prophet whom you sent. Not your messenger who you sent. Even though the prophet is a messenger. Right? And he was correct. But he was wrong at the same time. Why? Because the wording, along with the methodology on how we perform our worship, was also sent by Allah. And for us to change it, and Allah knows best, for us to change it is not permissible unless somebody has some real strong evidence to say that we should change it. It's better to stick with what we have. It's better not to innovate in anything, like Fudayl or radiallahu anhu said, it's better to go to sleep on a sunnah than to wake up on a bid'ah. Right? So, Allah knows best. But I would prefer to keep it the way it is, because it also shows some type of... there's some other reasons. There's some other reasons that can be utilized, like when we say إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ. Why do we say إِهْدِينَ الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمُ in the plural, when it's only one person making the salah, reciting Al-Fatiha? Why do we say إِيَّا نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ when it's only one person, you yourself, reciting Al-Fatiha? Why do you keep it in the plural? No. So there's some discussion on it. InshaAllah, I think the best thing to do, unless somebody has some real clear evidence on that you can change it, then you know anything about this? And unless you have some real clear evidence on changing it, it's better to just keep it the way it is, because that's the way it came down, and that's exactly what it, you know, it came down from Allah. So you know, it's better to keep it the way it is. Allahu a'lam. Okay, any questions about this ar-riya? There's something else too besides ar-riya. Is called as sum'ah. Sum'ah. Some people say sum'ah, but as sum'ah, I think it is as sum'ah. Sum'ah. This is another form of minor shirk. One is showing off, and wanting to have a great reputation. When you want to, they call it being ostentatious. When you want to be known, you want to be well known. You want your name to ring in people's ears. Oh, we heard about that tape. We heard about, you know, those classes that you're giving. You know? Yeah, man. Oh, you that person, you know? Sometimes what I try to do for in my personal life, when I go some places that I know these tapes are being circulated, or somebody's heard a lecture or something, and they ask me what my name is, I'll tell them Abu Tasneem, because very few people know me as Abu Tasneem. Instead of saying my name is Dawood Adib, or sometimes I'll just say Dawood. And won't say Dawood Adib, because people will, oh, you're Dawood Adib, oh, mashallah, and it's dangerous. I heard about you. And then Shaitan will come right behind that. Probably he'll beat me to the finish line before I can get there. And he'll say, yeah, tell him, you know, like, yo, and if you think that tape was good, listen to this tape. You know, and did you get the book for $7.95? You know, so we have to be real careful. These are two dangerous, dangerous things. As Shaitan, two dangerous things, showing off, wanting to be seen, and wanting to be heard. And
it's all personal. It has nothing to do with public reception, with your personal niya for doing it. Suppose you say, you know, like someone who, you know, who makes this salat, you know.
Once again, this is what I was saying. I was saying that some of the ulama, they differ on is it permissible to have what we call a mixed niya? Because some of the ulama say that if you're going to if you want to encourage someone to do an act, if you want to encourage someone to read Quran or eat with their right hand or go in jihad or be kind to their wives and their children, you know a person doesn't kiss his children at all, like Aqwa, right? When he saw the Prophet kissing his children, he said, I have 10, I don't kiss any of them.
Prophet said, "Man la yarham la yurham." Whoever doesn't get shown mercy will not be shown mercy. Right? So if you want to incite a brother to do this for the pleasure of Allah, then you kiss your children so his neighbors will encourage him. In this sense, this is not riya. You're inciting him to do a good act. You're inciting him or her to revive the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah. Like the Prophet ﷺ did with the man, he told him to give sadaqah. And then he said, whoever been extending the sunnah, whoever introduces or revives the sunnah, then he'll get the reward. Anyone who does that, he will get the reward of them without his being diminished. That was the reason of that the event of that particular incident. You know. So you know, if you're doing it for that reason, then Allah knows best. I don't see any harm in it. To encourage people. Because this is a way of watawasaw bil haqq. This is a means of exhortation. You're exhorting people to do the right thing, to the ma'ruf. See? Any questions about this before we put the second one on? Before we mention the second one? Okay, inshallah. Sheikh Bilal doesn't mention it in the book, but the other one is. Alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. The second one is, which is another form of shirk, al-asghar, a minor shirk. It's 6:30, it's past it. Oh, that's right, we're praying, we're not praying at 6:30. That's fine. Yeah, another form of shirk, al-asghar, that we should stay far away from, is saying, if. And that needs to be qualified. Because saying if, I mean, if is a common word in English language. Right. Saying, if I wouldn't have married you, man, I would have went places by now. If we wouldn't have moved to this country, or if we wouldn't, if. This is very dangerous. Because the Prophet ﷺ said that it opens up for the works and handiworks of shaitan. This is a very serious thing not to do. It's different from saying, though, if you do this, inshallah, maybe this will happen. But we're talking about after the fact. If I wouldn't have made that right turn, I wouldn't have had this accident. If I would have taken Belmont Avenue instead of going down Burger Street, if I would have gone down Burger Street instead of turning right here, I wouldn't have had this accident. This is shirk for sure. This is shirk al-asghar. And this is something we should try to stay away from. It's very, very dangerous. You know? Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. You know? So, that's it for that, unless someone has any further to add. And we're going to the next thing. Anyone want to add to this? Also, we mentioned, what the person is doing is that they are attributing the event of, they are attributing the incident, an event to creation and not the primary cause of it, which is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is the one who decrees the thing. So if a person says, if I wouldn't have done this, it's like they're in denial that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed what's already going to happen to them. And they're attributing to this particular thing of creation the fortune or the misfortune of what has befallen them. So this is shirk. After the fact. Right. After the fact. There is some discussion, though. I remember the same Sheikh Al-Urthi Meen, Hafizullah, asking him, was sudfa permissible to say? Sudfa meaning coincidence. Is it permissible? And we discussed this one time last year, I think, after one of the salat. Sudfa. Coincidentally, or I saw her by coincidence, or I ran into him by coincidence. What do you rather say?
It wasn't a coincidence.
Huh?
It
The Sheikh says, yes. He says, the reason why, yes is permissible. He says, the reason why, he says, relative to the human being to human being, it's a coincidence. Because you had no expectation of it. You didn't plan it. Yeah. But relative to Allah, from the human being with Allah, Allah already had foreknowledge of it. It's not a coincidence with Allah. But for you, it is a coincidence. And he mentioned some hadith that he said he couldn't remember the actual wording, but he said that there are some hadith that mentioned صَدَّدْنَا. صُدْفَة, am I right? صَدَّفْنَا. صَدَّفْنَا. Some of the companions said صَدَّفْنَا. In other words, by chance or by coincidence, we ran into this person on the road. So therefore, he says it's permissible. Because relative to you and I, we don't know. We're talking about Brother Abdullah, and we go to Pathmark. SubhanAllah, coincidentally, we ran into Abdullah. We just got finished talking about it. We didn't know it, but relative to Allah, of course he knew. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows.
What about somebody saying that I'm lucky?
It's still permissible. Yeah, the translation of luck in the English dictionary and the word bushra, which can be translated as luck, may you have good luck. Right? Bushra can be good luck. And there's another word that could be also, when the person says abshir. Abshir. It can mean good relative to what's being used with it. Or bad luck.
Well, I'm saying, I was stuck on the highway, and luckily, you know, Daoud came along and helped.
Luckily meaning good fortune. If the person's niyyah means because Allah decreed it, and by the good fortune was the decree 50,000 years before creation, Daoud came up the road to help me with the flat, it's permissible. But if they mean that some omen had befallen you, or that it was because of some lucky charm or some talisman that you used to get Dawood to come down the road, then you know, better go see Dionne Warwick or somebody, you know, with the crystal balls in astrology. Yeah. Or the ISO cursor you have on the dashboard next to St. Christopher. Or a story Yasin around your neck, thinking that it's going to keep you from some harm or something. Now, what would that be, brothers? The ayatul kursi on that somebody has on their wall for protection, or a verse around their neck is a chain. Is that shirk al akbar or shirk al asghar? Why is it shirk al akbar? What type of tawheed does it violate? Rububiyyah? Is he right? He's right? Huh? Tawheed al-ibadah, is he right? Believing that a necklace with ayatul kursi on it will prevent you from some harm, protect you from some curse or something like that, is it a violation of tawheed al-rab or tawheed al-ibadah? Which one? They say rab. Why do you say ibadah? Tawheed al-ibadah for sure. Yeah. Because why? Ta'awwud. You're seeking refuge. You're seeking protection. You're seeking protection in something other than Allah. It's in shirk al-ibadah. In tawheed al-ibadah. Absolutely. Not in rub, for sure. What is the three branches of tawheed al-rub? I mean, the way we understand it, the way we learned it. Tawheed al-rub is what? Allah is the creator by himself, he's the owner by himself, and he's the administrator of the affairs of all his creatures. Whereas believing in a talisman will protect you is a violation of any of those three. Yeah, this is not the same thing though, because we explain what administrative affairs means. That he administrates the sperm that goes through the wombs and the leaves as they fall from the trees, etc. But this is a violation of Tawheed al-Ibadah, because this person is now transferring that type of Ibadah, which is seeking protection from Allah, to something created. This is Tawheed al-Ibadah is being violated, not Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. This is legal.
No, I mean, but like you said about Yasin, you recite Yasin over your dead. You know, suppose somebody attributes some benefit to that, the message that you attribute.
This is different. This is conditional. If a person is using Surah Yasin over their dying, as a means of incantation or healing, based on the hadith that says, اقرأوا ياسين over your dead, read ياسين over على موتاكم, read ياسين over your dying or your dead, then this is wrong. Because their niyyah of the implementation of that ibadah is based on an unauthentic hadith. But if they do it and they never read it, that hadith, and they do it because it's the Quran, then, you know, Allah knows best on the permissibility of it, but I wouldn't say that it falls in the same category as somebody using an unauthentic hadith to do that. There would be two different situations. Allah knows best. Anybody want to say anything about this? Or what we talking about? Yes. Allah knows best that it will be shirk al-asghar, because the person who says, if how can we say this? The person who says, if I would not have done this, if I would not have done this, this seems to be, and Allah knows best, it seems to be a branch of this type of shirk. That is not, because according to what we learned from the ulama, that the shirk al-akbar are not from the branches, to the best of my knowledge. They're not from the branches. They're from the roots of these particular issues. Like bowing down to a grave, or seeking assistance, and of course the things that, you know, we can't seek assistance in human beings for, because we can seek assistance in human beings. But there's some things, of course, that we mentioned before. If you're seeking assistance in a human being, is something that you can, that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can do, then this is akbar. It seems as though that this is shirk al-asghar, because this is from the furu', from the branches. Allah knows best. I don't think this is from the usul, to say that if a person says, if opening up the doors of shaitan, opening up for the works of shaitan to make the person lead him to a greater shirk, I think it's shirk al-asghar. Because this, the reason why the Prophet ﷺ said, and Allah knows best, the reason why he said that if you say this, this opens the door to the work of shaitan, based on this principle, whatever leads to this, whatever leads to that, now that I think about it, yeah, you know, now that I look at it in another angle, it's interesting. Why do they call it shirk al-asghar if it's a denial of this qadr? SubhanAllah. Because definitely, yeah. Yeah, most of the people I've heard, almost everybody I've read, they call it shirk al-asghar. Have you ever heard anybody call it anything other than that? Have you heard? Well, the shirk al-akbar is done in innocence by a lot of people. That's something we need to check out. Because now that I think about it, this, that it's what? Then, I don't know. Because if you go back to Ar-Riyah, and the Sum'ah, the showing off and wanting to have a reputation, I think this would seem greater than that. Yeah, so for that reason, it should be Akbar too then, right? Right? I mean, if you think about it, that should be worse. Right? No, excuse me, Abu Bakr was going to say something first. I don't know about that. But we have to think about this, because the way I've always understood it, is that it was from the branches of this of shirk, not from actually the root, very roots of shirk, like saying, like building an idol, and you know, saying this is my ilah. I have to think about that. Why do they call it that? And because to me, if we stick to that principle, the riyah seems worse. Because kibr is one of the descriptions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Allah says in this hadith Qudsi that whoever vies with me, greatness is my rule, pride is my cloak, and greatness is my robe. Whoever vies with me, competes with me in any of these, in any of the two, I will throw them into the hellfire. So for a person, you know, riyah is a form of kibr, it's a form of pride, showing off, wanting to be great. Huh? Yeah, but okay, but what if the person says you shouldn't say that, brother, that if you wouldn't have gone to Keene's College, if you wouldn't have married this woman, this, you wouldn't have had this problem. Well, I don't care. I know for a fact, if I wouldn't have married this woman, I wouldn't have this problem right now. Right? I wouldn't have caught this disease. If I wouldn't have married this woman, I would not have caught this disease. I don't care what you say. No, I'm saying now it's no longer innocent now. I'm saying now the person is intentionally saying it. So now what would that make it? Same thing? Yes. For the other ones, we don't have a text for any kind of text saying that a shirk was akbar. Oh, wait a minute. No. Yeah, I think we do. No. No. I don't know of any text. From what we know, inshallah, I don't know of any text where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam called those other ones a major shirk. So I guess the best thing to say is that it's shirk al-azgar because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that's what he called it. That's the safest place to stay. Safest place to stay, inshallah. Alright, inshallah. We're supposed to pray when? Quarter to?
7 o'clock.
Alright, yes, inshallah. There's another one. There's another issue, though. It just came to my mind about this if. Another issue. If the person... No, that's not related. As I was thinking about the incident that we mentioned last week, that the man said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Insha'Allahu wa in shitta." If it be your will, if it be the will of Allah and your will, this is something different, though. This is different. If it be the will of Allah and your will, and he said, أتجعلني لله ندا, are you making me a nid, like a rival with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and like an idol? Are you making me a partner, in other words, with Allah? He says, but rather what you should say, inshallah ثم شئت, if it be the will of Allah, then the will of you. If it be the will of Allah, then your will. We should not say, if it be the will of Allah and your will. I think we mentioned this, how some people, you hear some speakers here or other messages or any in other places, you hear them saying, I'd like to, now if it's the will of Allah, brothers and sisters, and your will, we'll take this break for 10 minutes and we'll go get some refreshments or something like that. Or I'd like to thank you, and I thank Allah and thank you for allowing me to come and speak at this lecture, you know, something like this. So this is... this is something we should try to stay away from. But this, I don't think this falls in the category of the if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was talking about. But I'm going to check this, inshallah. Even the Prophet called the shirk al-azhar. I'm going to check that out, inshallah. Jazakallah khair. Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. Alright.
Talking about that morning, like some people say, reading the Quran,
Yeah. Well, I don't know. That's just a mistake. It's not related to the shirk. But no, that's only because we don't. Well, basically two reasons. There's no place in the Quran that Allah says, "A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan rajim." And I don't know, from what I know, there's no hadith that says that Allah says, "A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan rajim." So that's number one. Number two, would probably be a weaker argument to say that if you say Allah is saying "A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan rajim," you're saying that Allah is seeking refuge with himself from shaitan, you know. Yeah, if you say that Allah says, but that would probably be a weaker argument. Why? Anybody have any answer why that would be a weaker argument? No, it's because there are all the verses in the Quran are the words of Allah, and there are many places in the Quran where Allah says that, like Ibrahim says something, Allah says something on the tongue of Ibrahim. Or Fir'aun, Allah says something by the tongue of, in other words, the tongue, but how the scholars say, al-lisan, like Fir'aun. Like Fir'aun will say something that you read in the Quran, but it's the word of Allah. You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah. On the face of it, if Allah himself,
right. But what I'm saying is that the actual statement itself, if someone wanted to say that you can't say that because Allah didn't say it, there are many verses in the Quran that, for instance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَقَدْ كَفَرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهُ هُوَ الْمَسِيحُ ابْنُ مَرْيَمَ. They surely disbelieve who say, Allah is the Messiah. The Messiah is Allah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْمَسِيحُ ابْنُ مَرْيَمَ. He's the son of Mary. Messiah is the son of Mary. Have you just left out the part, لَقَدْ كَفَرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا, and you said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْمَسِيحُ ابْنُ مَرْيَمَ. Surely Allah is the Christ, son of Mary. If you left that part out, it's still the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah is saying it, even though it's a statement of shirk. You understand what I'm saying? We're not saying that Allah is committing, Allah is not making a statement of shirk, but this is His words in the Quran. And whatever is in the Quran, Allah said it. No? Huh? 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 No. Listen, the point I'm trying to make is that to me it would be a weaker argument. It would be a weaker argument than the first argument. The second reason that you shouldn't say Allah says, and then you say A'udhu billahi min shaitanir rajim, and then you quote the ayah, because the whole Quran is a speech of Allah. And there are things in the Quran that are statements that people are making or will make that are statements of kufr and shirk. Doesn't mean Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is doing this, but that's His speech. Yeah, we understand that. I'm trying to make it so that anyone who would try to come back with that argument to say, oh wait a minute, well, so you say Allah didn't say A'udhu billahi min shaitanir rajim, or like some people say that you shouldn't say Allah says Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, and then you recite the ayah Qul Huwa Allahu Ahad, Allahu Samad. Alright, but does Allah say Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim in the Quran? Right, doesn't He say it? Okay. Yeah, we know that. I'm saying that, but Allah is the one who said it first, because this was already in Lawh Mahfuz before they said it. Right? No. Huh? Right. No, I'm saying the whole thing was the part that was left out, with some mahzufat. The part that was left out is that some people, when they're giving a lecture or a khutbah, they'll say, and Allah says, A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim, and then they'll quote the ayah. Alright? And there's no ayah in the Quran where Allah says, A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim.
They are reciting
Yeah, but you can't say Allah says, A'udhu billahi min shaitan rajeem. It's better to say what Allah said. Yeah, you can say A'udhu billahi min shaitan rajeem to yourself and then say Allah says. Right? You can't say Allah says, A'udhu billahi min shaitan rajeem. Alright? It's just it's a technicality that we have to be very, very careful with. It's not related directly to the topic of the class, but it's important. Because, for instance, some people say, because Allah says, say, seek refuge with Allah from the shaitan before you recite the Quran, right? Or when you recite the Quran, seek refuge with Allah, the hearer and the knower. Even though he says that, it's not permissible, according to the ulama of Islam, to say, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم. Not permissible. Why? What's the reason? Huh? No. Allah is telling you to seek refuge with Allah from the shaitan, and then you recite the verse. Right? Allah is telling you, إذا قرأت القرآن فاستعذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. When you recite the Quran, seek refuge with Allah from the shaitan, the rejected. Right? And so now you do that. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم. لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم. Where's the mistake in there? Yeah. You're connecting, for this particular verse, and verses similar to this, you're connecting shaitan with Allah. You're saying, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. Allah. You understand? You know, it's like you're saying shaitan is Allah. وَلِيَعَذُ بِاللَّهِ. No, it can be said aloud. It's just there's some places in the Quran.
You can't speak refuge to everybody you're speaking to.
And you're not, because you're doing it in the first person. You're not. You're not saying na'udhu, you're saying a'udhu.
So why say aloud?
It's permissible to say it aloud.
No, why?
Why not? It's permissible. Permissible. It's just that you have to know when you can say it without saying the Bismillah and when you can't. That's all. That's all. You gonna say something? Yeah. You just have to know. It's partly connected with aqidah and it's partly connected with the rules and regulations for reading Quran. Like if we go back to the verse again, لَقَدْ كَفَرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْمَسِيحُ بْنُ مَرْيَمَ. They surely believe those who say that the Christ, Allah is the Christ, the Son of Mary. Now you can't stop there. لَقَدْ كَفَرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا in your recitation, إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْمَسِيحُ بْنُ مَرْيَمَ. You can't stop and say, surely Allah, stop there. They surely just believe who say, and then pause. And then say, surely Allah is the Messiah, the Son of Mary? Can't do that. You have to go back to the beginning of the verse. So it's connected with aqidah and the rules of recitation. You have to go back. لَقَدْ كَفَرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْمَسِيحُ بْنُ مَرْيَمَ. Surely those who disbelieve, they say Allah. Not stop and say, Allah is. Right? Alright? Okay. سُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُمَّ وَبِحَمْدِكَ أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ أَسْتَغْفِرُكَ وَأَتُوبُ إِلَيْكَ. And I don't mean tajweed proper, I mean like tilawa, rules of recitation. Where to stop. I guess it's connected to tajweed. Where to stop, where you can breathe, where you can't. We're late, two brothers. We have to get upstairs, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum.
فَإِنَّ أَصْدَقَ الْحَدِيثِ كِتَابُ اللَّهِ وَخَيْرَ الْهَدِي هَدْيُ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار.
What? Shaheed? What did he say? Huh? What did I say wrong? I said, وكل بدعة وكل دلالة في النار. بس وكل بدعة ضلالة. لا 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 أبدا. هذا خبر مرفوع، خبر مرفوع علامة رفعه هي الضم. هذا خبر وهذا مبتدأ. لا مبتدأ مؤخر. مبتدأ مؤخر. No, that's yes. هذا شبه الجملة. Right. Huh? Yes. Okay. So what is this then? What's the Arab of this one? It's a khabar, right? Okay. That's what I said. Khabar mafroon, alamatu rafihi ad-dam. MashaAllah. Shaheed. Come on, man. We have to shaykh it now. Come on. Oh, it's a low blow, man. Low blow. Low blow. Now you know how Shaheed is. He's gonna come out and say something real strong now. Malikus Salam. Okay. All right, let's finish, inshallah. The other thing, he doesn't mention it here, though I don't think. Oh yeah. Last week we mentioned about nifaq. Nifaq. An-nifaq. An-nifaq. Anybody remember what the literal meaning of this word is? Anybody remember? Huh? To tunnel under. To tunnel under. Anybody remember? I didn't say that last week? Yeah. Like when a mouse goes under the ground. Like a snare. And it to hide, and it makes a little tunnel under the ground. That's what the word nifaq means. So, we mentioned that this also, no, we mentioned that the person, there's two categories to this, two types. One is amali, we mentioned it, right? And the other one is qalbi. Does anyone remember before we end? We have to end it here, inshallah. Anyone remember any one of these? Let's take one from maybe two or three or four people. Can you give us anyone can give us a type of amali? Just one. I mean, there was some specific things that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that we know falls under this category. When he's quarreling, he rants and raves, he swears. Right. That's one. When he gives a promise, he breaks it. What's another one? He speaks, he lies. When he's in trust with something, he betrays the trust. Is there any other ones? He said that. No, he said that. No, he didn't say when he gives the word, he's not going to keep it. He just said, when he's given a trust, he betrays it. But there's another one that we mentioned too. I don't know. As soon as I say it, everybody's going to get it though. As soon as I point to this person, all the brothers are going to get it, inshallah. There's one more that we mentioned. And Abdurrahim should know it. Now, we should know what it is now because I said Abdurrahim, right? What does it have to do with? Jihad. You know, when we point to Abdurrahim, we know it's about jihad, right? Now, so what is it? Remember we said that the person that doesn't even have this thought inside of himself about jihad, or he doesn't go out, he doesn't have this thought inside of him, he dies on a branch of nifaq. So this is nifaq amali also. You know, if you don't have the desire to go out in jihad, you don't even have the conversation in your chest about it. You know. But the qalbi, this is the person we mentioned, is he looks like a Muslim, he acts like a Muslim, but in actuality, he's a kafir, or she's a kafir. Right? He's a Catholic. Right? And this is what they attribute to, this is what the kuffar, the Christians, attribute to Khadija radiallahu anha. Right? Remember? We mentioned in the khutbah? They tried to say that she was a Roman Catholic spy sent to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, acting like a Muslim. right. Now, this particular, we mentioned that no one knows who is the hypocrite except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that Allah's Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam gave one of the Sahaba, at least one of them that we know of, he told them who they were, the hypocrites. That was Huzaifa radiallahu anhu. And this dangerous attribute is an attribute that all of us should be seeking refuge with Allah from as much as we can, because we don't, you know, some people may have it in their actions already. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, if all of these things are in one person, then he is truly a hypocrite. You know, so we should seek refuge with Allah from this, because this is a type of kufr that is, if it falls into the B category, the person is going to be in the lowest depths of the hellfire. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from that, inshallah. One more thing. Oh yeah, yeah. I really couldn't answer that. The only thing I can say, I can't answer that specifically, but in general, the only thing that I can think of that would help us to protect ourselves against these type of people is that we make dua to Allah to protect us. Other than that, like Allah says, "Anta maulana fansurna ala alqawmin kafirin." You are the maulana, O Allah, so protect us, or give us victory. Fansurna ala alqawmin kafirin. This is in general, because of the munafiqun, or a type of kuffar. So give us victory over the people who are called kuffar. So I mean, we have to ask Allah to give us the victory over the kuffar, give us protection against kuffar and shirk and nifaq, and the ashab of those individuals, the people who are practitioners of it. We shouldn't just be asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us against kuffar, shirk and nifaq. We should be asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us protection over from kufr, shirk, nifaq, and the practitioners of kufr, shirk, and nifaq. You know. Other than that,
the reason why I mentioned that is because last time we discussed it, like we said in the animal meeting, that these people only have this kind of feeling in their heart to fight Israel. This person was in the fact of Kalbi, he's the first one in the battlefield.
Yeah. Yeah, to the best of my knowledge, the best way to do it is, or one of the better ways to do it, is to just make dua to Allah to protect us. Because, you know, we're asking Allah to protect us from something that we have no knowledge of, and that we can't see, or we can't hear with the senses that He's given us. Because no sheikh, no matter how, big, like Sheikh Muhammad Sayyid Ali says, no matter how long his beard is, and know how big his turban is, no one's going to know, be able to know what's in somebody's chest. Yeah, you mean the salah? Allah, a'udhu bika min fitnati mahya wa mamat, from the trials of life and death. In general, I guess you could say that, because, you know, this is a part of life. A part of life, you know, to run into people who are munafiqun. But the bottom line is that we have to implore Allah. We have to invoke Allah constantly against the condition of these diseases and the possessors of these diseases, and that we don't become of them. You know, and it's permissible. I mean, there are dua, there are standard dua that the Prophet said, where he actually sought refuge with Allah from this. And he sought refuge with Allah from nifaq and from ignorance, just ignorance. I mean, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam in the Quran, he said, وَقَالَ مُوسَى لِقَوْمِهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تَذْبَحُوا بَقْرَةً. O people, surely Allah has ordered you to slaughter a cow. And then they said, قَالُوا أَتَتَّخِذُنَا هُزُوًا. you take us, you know, like you take us, you know, I mean, what do you, like this is a joke or it's a fool or something like that, you take us as a fool? And he said, A'udhu billahi an akuna min al-jahilin. I seek refuge with Allah from being of the ignorant. So there's a dua for almost anything, either specifically or in general, right, that we can use. And nifaq is one of them. There's quite a few hadith. A couple of them I think you can find, if I'm not, my memory serves me correctly, in the book called Al-Azkar by Imam al-Nawawi. Al-Azkar. This is the plural word for zikr. And you can find these different du'a in by Imam al-Nawawi, same person who did the 40 hadith, rahmatullahi alayh. You can find this du'a talking about seeking refuge with Allah from hypocrisy. Inshallah, we're going to discuss this in detail next week. There's a little booklet that Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah, rahmatullahi alayhi, he wrote called Sifatul Munafiqeen. Little booklet, little thin booklet, maybe about 20 pages. Sifat al-Munafiqeen, descriptions or the characteristics of the hypocrites. I think it's a little bit longer title than that, but I think this is part of it. Either the descriptions of the descriptions of hypocrisy and the hypocrites, something like this. You familiar with this little booklet? What is it, Sifat al-Munafiqeen? It's not Sifat al-Munafiqeen, that's it, yeah, that's right. Sifat al-Munafiqeen. And inshallah, we're going to go through that booklet just to go into a little bit more detail. And I'm sure Allah knows best that He brings on how to protect ourselves from nifaq. Because He was like that, and alhamdulillah, He used to do a thorough job. No. No, it doesn't. That's the literal meaning. That's not.
I know, but what would you say when we describe
it? Describe the literal meaning? I don't know of any ayah in the Quran that describes the literal meaning of it. I don't know of any. I don't know of any ayah that describes the literal meaning of yourself. All the verses that I know of that deal with any form of nifaq whatsoever, it's all religious. It's religious meaning. Islamic meaning. Not the literal meaning. Can't think of it. No. No. Alright. No more questions about this, brothers? Comments? I'm going to check this thing out. No.
So we'll never know again outside of those people.
To the best of my knowledge, I don't see how.
Yeah.
Huh? No, he says in this life. He said in this life. Really, it's more important. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, if a person comes out and says, I'm a hypocrite, I mean, the first thing he's going to come to your mind is he's Majnoon. He's crazy. You're going to give him the benefit of the doubt automatically. Who in their right mind is going to come out and say they're a hypocrite? Who? Not even a hypocrite will do that. That's why he's a hypocrite. And then if he said it, it's like Epimenides' paradox. You're going to have to start thinking, well, if he says it, like, you know, Epimenides' paradox, he says, all Cretans don't lie, or all Cretans are liars, but it's a Cretan who's saying it. You find yourself in a tight circle. All Cretans lie, but it's a Cretan who said it. So is he lying? You know. SubhanAllah, wa hamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.